Hey, church family, it's Wednesday, and we are covering 19 and 20th chapters of Revelation. Now, things are pretty climactic here. The beast and the false prophet are destroyed in chapter 19. And then we read about something called the wedding supper of the Lamb. And for those who think Jesus came back before the tribulation, which I hope he does, the church, God's people, have been in heaven for the past 7 years preparing for this wedding service. So we see this word hallelujah, by the way. We see the word hallelujah here for the first time in the New Testament, and we see it over and over again. And hallelujah just means praise the Lord. And so after the judgment, God's people, who are dressed in white linen, remember that sign of purity, they're presented before Jesus as a bride is presented to her groom, white and pure. At the marriage dinner, I think this is important to understand, at the marriage dinner or the marriage supper, individual Christians are the guests, while altogether, all Christians are referred to as the bride. So just a little clarification there. And then we see Jesus returning to earth, and not on a donkey this time like he rode into Jerusalem, but on a white horse with the entire army of God following him. Now, isn't this a beautiful thing to just imagine? And heaven, in the book of Revelation, heaven opens up twice. When Jesus came down and raptured his believers, heaven opened up. And now Jesus and his army reveal themselves to the earth, and all the saints go with Jesus to fight at the Battle of Armageddon. And we don't know who all of these saints are. At the end of chapter 19, there's the final damnation for the beast and the false prophet. And so the satanic false trinity, it's time for them to pay, Satan and the two beasts, the Antichrist, who is, remember, the leopard type beast, and the false prophet, who was the lamb, false lamb beast. Those two are obliterated. And then Satan himself is sent to, we'll read that word, abyss. Now, the abyss is not his final destination. It's not hell. And then we read about a 1,000-year reign. Now, again, and it's been really hard during this study to try not to take, I guess, a side in some of the different variations of theology of the book of Revelation. But for the sake of us talking about this, the 1,000 years is called the millennium rule of Jesus. And this is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth, where there's a great time of peace. And there are scholars who disagree on whether this is to be taken as a literal 1,000 years. If we look at other scriptures that say, you know, to God, a 1,000 years to us is but a day to him. We don't know for sure about this, but it appears that during this time, and the millennial rule of Jesus is referenced over and over again in the Old Testament, even referenced in the New Testament. But it seems as if during this millennium, it seems as if people still have free will on earth. So that sin nature is still in people, and Satan is allowed, for whatever reason, and I don't know, allowed for a short time after the millennium to gain a following of people. And as this inherent sin nature of man is still in mankind, he takes followers with him and convinces them to follow him. And this is not nearly as detailed as before, with all of the things happening with the Battle of Armageddon and everything. But Satan, in short, attempts war with God one more time, and God just eats him and his followers up with fire. And then Satan is sent to hell, and this is the eternal hell, the lake of burning sulfur, where he and the lost will spend eternity in torment. And verses 11 to 15, you'll see talk about the final judgment. And every person from any time in history will be there at the final judgment. There's only two groups of people, though. There are the saved and there are the lost. There are those who are written in the book of life, which has the name in it, all people who made a commitment to Jesus. And then there's this thing called the Great White Judgment. And the Great White Throne Judgment only affects those whose names are not in the book of life. So one theological question that I know has been debated for forever is this hell that we read about in the Bible a literal fire? And, you know, Jesus talks about, well, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus talks about there being a fire that can't be quenched. And there are, I think traditionally speaking, most people feel that it is an actual literal hell. But I want to just add a little something to the thought of this. Whether it is a physical burning or not, it sure seems as if with the descriptive nature of not just the book of Revelation, but other books, that it is a physical place of fire. But I want to look back with you for just a minute to Jesus being crucified. And maybe you've heard me say this before, but you know, we make a lot, and we should make a lot, of Jesus being tortured, beaten within an inch of his life, crucified with 7 and 9 inch nails, you know, shoulders out of joint, hanging on the cross, all of these things, beaten, as the book of Isaiah says, beyond human recognition. And for all that Jesus went through physically leading to the cross and on the cross, I don't know how that could compare to God turning his back on Jesus in order for Jesus to take the sin of the world on his shoulders. That wasn't a physical thing. That was by far the most emotional, spiritual pain that one could ever feel, is when Jesus took the death and took the sin of the world on his shoulders. So where I want to land on this whole subject of hell is whether or not it's a literal hell. Number one, we should never find out. We should never have to worry about that if we're followers of Jesus. And second of all, it's a complete absence of God. So whether or not there is physical torture, or whether that, like Jesus, with God turning turning on Jesus to allow him to take the sin of the world because God can't be in the presence of sin, that pain is far greater than any physical pain, I believe, that Jesus would have gone through, though that was horrific. So just keep that in mind as you think about that. It's hopeless, though. Hell is hopeless, regardless of what happens physically. And so some of this is kind of hard to read today, but the beauty of this is hope comes in tomorrow's reading. I can't wait to share that with you.